I hope somebody's here to realize that you better not think God is finished with you. You better not close the book. Because I'm here to tell you, God may still be adding some exciting chapters to your story. Did you hear what I'm saying to you?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will be listening to the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, Don't Settle for Less Than God's Best. In the first part of this message, taken from the life of Abraham and which we heard last week, we learned the great truth that seeking God's best is not found in accepting the status quo. We also heard how Abraham's faith in the promises of God was rekindled by a fresh vision of a God of the impossible. But in a most practical illustration, we also learned that finding God's best is a quest that doesn't come cheaply. It requires commitment. We'll hear more about that this evening. So if you have your Bibles, please turn once again to Genesis chapter 17 and listen as Pastor Grant brings the concluding part of his message, Don't Settle for Less Than God's Best. Here now is Pastor Grant.
I hope somebody's here to realize that you better not think God is finished with you. You better not close the book. Because I'm here to tell you, God may still be adding some exciting chapters to your story. Did you hear what I'm saying to you? Oh, you say, brother, at least you're not 70 yet, or you're not 65 yet, or you're not whatever. Just for the record, I'm not 65. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not even 64. I'm not even... Leave my business alone. But you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't close the book. You may think you have it all figured out. You know, the oldest member of this church is 94 years old, and she's here and she's looking wonderful. Praise the Lord, my sister. We have nobody 99 yet. We once had a brother 105, but he's home in the Lord. I'm only saying that to say this. You know, sometimes some of you golden eagles, you figure, oh, my story is wrapped up. God's vision for me is all wrapped up. Says who? How you know you're not supposed to be volunteering with Brother Johnson down in North Philadelphia? How do you know what plan God has for you? I am just saying, don't close the book, because God may still be writing an exciting chapter of your story. But God also promised Abraham everlasting blessing, and he has everlasting blessings in store for us as well. And God's best blessings are not on earth. My Bible tells me in John's Gospel chapter 14 that Jesus said, what? In my Father's house are what? Are many mansions. It says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will what? Come again to receive you unto myself. Listen, God's best blessings are ahead. Amen. And you're not on earth. What a tragedy. You turn on the television and there are so many programs from preachers that the emphasis is all about blessings on earth. I heard one preacher say, I am tired of hearing people talking. I heard it with my two ears. I'm tired of hearing people talking about in heaven there are going to be streets of gold. He says, I want my gold now. But I'm just so glad to know one day I'm going to be with Jesus in heaven. How about you? I'm going to see my Savior's face. The one who saved me by his grace. So guess what we do? We get all we can all we get, and sit on the can. I got my can full, and I'm going to keep my can full. I am going to lay up all the treasures I can on earth. But oh, I'm thanking God for people who are willing to invest their life in kingdom business, who are willing to say, God, here's my life. God, I want to lay up treasures. You know, my Bible tells me that Jesus says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Amen. Do you want to see God do some impossible things in your life? Do you know if you speak to some of these missionaries, they'll tell you about some impossible things that happened? You talk to Brother Johnson. You see, when we decide, you talk to Brother Charles, you talk to Sister Lord, listen, you talk to Brother Courage, they keep telling you about unbelievable things that happen, mind-boggling things. I remember my wife used to tell me, she said to me, because I'd ask her about some of the how they grew up, and she told me one time, she said, you know, Dad said to the family, we're going to Kingston. They live in the country parts. They said, we're going to Kingston to shop, go grocery shopping, because we don't have any food, but we're going grocery shopping. But girls, he said, you all better pray, because I don't have no money. I told that story this week, so I'm remembering it. He said, we don't have any money, so would you pray that God will provide? And so they go to Kingston without no money. Kingston is the big city. I'm the city boy. She's the country girl. So we go, they're going to Kingston. They go to the shopping center. And do you know, as they pull up, somebody approaches them. Brother Charles, it's so good to see you. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. Bang! Grocery money! Now, who does things like that other than the omnipotent God? Who does stuff like this other than El Shaddai? And here you are settling and you're saying, God is tugging at some of you. Oh, I know that in our services, there are some who sense that God wants to do something special in their life. And they're saying, no, I can't do that because I won't get a salary. There are people in this church who will tell you they haven't had a salary for over 30 years. And God, the El Shaddai, the Almighty God, He has provided for them. And they don't look like they are starving. I won't call any names. You want to see the impossible? You want to see what God... Are you willing to say, God, here's my life. I'm willing to invest it. I want to lay up treasure in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. But listen, I better get moving back on my subject, because I could be enjoying just thinking about heaven. I'm glad I have an inheritance reserved in heaven. I don't know if you ever sit and meditate and just think about that, but I'm glad. I'm glad I have an inheritance reserved in heaven, where no thieves can break through or steal, where no dust or rust can corrupt. There is an inheritance in heaven with my name on it. Let me ask you, do you have one? Do you have an inheritance in heaven with your name on it? It can happen today if you open your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. But second, as I talk about the promise of everlasting blessing, there are three things I want to point out. Number two, the second parallel with Abram's experience was the provision of a miracle child. And in Genesis chapter 17, verse 15, God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarah anymore, but Sarah, I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Sarah was going to have a baby, but it was too much for Abraham. So note what he said in verse 18. In verse 18, Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. Isn't it interesting? God tells him, your wife is going to have a son. And Abraham, the man of faith, looks at God and says, God, why don't we just go with Ishmael? God, I'm willing to settle for Ishmael. Are you with me this morning? God, I'm willing to settle. I'm willing to settle. But God said no. God says, I'm not settling for plan B. You see, God's plan, humanly speaking, was impossible. And to help you see why I am saying that and not making this up, look at chapter 18, verse 11. Just to help you see, I'm not making this up. Genesis 18:11. No, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Do you see it? She had what? Passed the age of childbearing. And Sarah also laughed. After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? Oh, that's another message. I heard some of you already. That's for another type of message. We leave that message for another day. Amen? Suffice it to say, she was past the age. It was impossible. But do you know, to achieve God's purpose for us, he had to produce another miracle child. So in the fullness of time, God sends forth his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a miracle child. You see, Abraham and Sarah produced Isaac. Isaac was born from a man, but from a woman who had no part to play. The man had a part to play, the woman had none. And suddenly we have another miracle. God brings around the Lord Jesus Christ, where there was no man with a part to play, but a woman with a part to play. Very God, the Lord Jesus Christ, very God. Not the seed of a man, but the seed of a woman. Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
So God comes, but you know where the parallel breaks down. Because as we move forward early next year, we'll get to Genesis 22, where God says to Abraham to take your son, your only son, Isaac. You remember that story? And what was he to do? God tells him to take him and what? Sacrifice him. For what? Oh, I'd better not run ahead. We're going to get there. I'll just tell you what happened. Those of you who don't know, guess what happened? Just when Abraham, just as Abraham was about to slay his son. And some of you say, why would he slay him? Oh, let me tell you ahead of time, lest you don't come back to that message and you miss something important. The reason Abraham was going to do it, by now he had trusted God so much that he believed that since God says this is the seed through whom all this must happen, Abraham realizes that if he kills his son, God is going to resurrect. He didn't even hear about the resurrection before, but the book of Hebrews gives us the answer in Hebrews chapter 11. It tells you that Abraham believed if he sacrificed Isaac, God was going to resurrect him from the dead. But you remember what happened? Just as he was about to sacrifice his son, God said, Abraham, I have provided a lamb. Hundreds of years later, the second miracle child was walking up Golgotha's hill. God the Son was walking up Golgotha's hill. They had beaten him. They had pulverized him. They had pressed thorns on his head. He was bleeding. They nailed him to a cross. But the same God who, when it was Abraham's turn to sacrifice his son, the same God who said, Abraham, don't lay your hand on the lad. The same God, he laid his hand on his son. My Bible tells me in the book of Isaiah that it pleased the Father to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, how in the world? Why would it please God to lay his hand on his son? Why would he judge his son? Why would he cause his son to die? My friend, I just want you to know all that was because God was sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your substitute and my substitute. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Those of us who sinned, listen, the penalty was death. And guess what? Jesus paid it all. One writer says, as a result, all to him we owe. I need to ask you, my friend, this morning, have you received the forgiveness that God sent Jesus Christ to the cross to provide? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? We're almost done. The power of a new name. The third parallel. The power of a new name. Verse number 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. Abram means exalted father. This name looked back to his father Terah and implied Abraham came from royal lineage. God didn't want him living in with a backward look, and so God changed his name and gave him a forward look. Abraham means a father of a multitude. Abraham could now look forward to a multitude of descendants. Has God changed your name? Do you know heaven no longer has me recorded as a sinner? I want you to know, some of you said, preacher, you are so full of yourself to say what you're about to say, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Do you know what heaven now calls me? Saint Brian. Oh my goodness. Look at all the saints sitting before me. You see, the Pope, the Vatican made no decision. There was no meeting held to name me a saint. The minute I trusted Jesus Christ, the minute you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are justified by God. You are declared righteous by God. You become a saint. And this is why the Apostle Paul, in many of the epistles, as he writes to the Christians and he calls them saints. Are you glad you're a saint? Are you living like a saint? Oh, my. You see, since God has changed your name, we need not live in the past. We need not hang out with the same old crowd. Oh, somebody, God is talking to you. Because God has changed your name, you need not be living in the past. It's time to get rid of the old crowd. It's time to get rid of some of those old habits. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We need not live with the same narrow dreams. We can get a new vision from God. Sadly, some Christians are satisfied just to barely make it to heaven. Is that you? God, I'm so glad I have insurance. I got my fire insurance. I know I won't be roasted in hell because I said yes to Jesus. But God, here, someone once wrote, here's what they wrote. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God. You listening? Please, God, I don't want so much to explode my soul or disturb my sleep. I just want enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. God, I am looking for ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of a womb, not a rebirth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. God, I just want $3 worth of God. Is that what you want? Is that all you want? Is that how you are settling? Or is this morning the morning where you are going to say to God, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. Finally, we need a fresh surrender to God. God demanded that Abraham circumcise all the males. And guess what? Abraham obeyed God. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 23, the Bible says Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and his son was 13 years old. I want you to know, it ain't no fun. Ladies, it ain't no fun. Circumcision ain't no fun. It's no fun for a baby, and it's much worse. The older you get, the worse it gets. Can you imagine a 99-year-old man having to be circumcised? You see, following Jesus has a cost. We want a salvation where Jesus pays the price. We go free, no cost. Following Jesus has a cost. By the way, this is a brata. A brata, that's a Jamaican word. It means it's an extra bonus I'm throwing in. Did you notice he circumcised a 13-year-old too? Oh, I wish I could preach this morning and talk to parents who sometimes their kids become teenagers and we feel, oh, I'm going to let them choose. I'm going to let them choose if they want to come to church. You ever heard that one? I'm going to let them choose. Abraham said, I ain't going to make this teenager choose. Teenager, come here. I'm going to circumcise you too. Parents, grab a hold of what I just said. But here's the final thing I'm saying. Abraham acted immediately. Verse 26 says, that very same day, Abraham was circumcised. Abraham acted immediately. You know, I'm convinced that some of you need to make a decision for God. I'm satisfied that the Spirit of God is speaking to somebody here. In fact, I'm satisfied the Spirit of God has been speaking to some of you for some time, but you have been putting it off and putting it off. Some of you are not saved, and you're still not saved. Some of you young people, some of you teenagers, you're not sure that your name is in heaven. You're not sure that there's a reservation there for you, but you've been putting it off. Some of you know that God is calling you to a life of commitment. Oh, you know it. You know you've been half-stepping. This day, God says, don't settle for less than my best.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And Now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.